Hey, how you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available live for Tuesday, the 5th of May, 2020, episode 231. I bet you're surprised. I'm surprised. I wasn't expecting to be doing this. I've got a very unusual setup tonight. I don't think there is a setup like this in any other part of the country. It maybe reflects where I am right now, but I like to think that it's a positive that I'm doing this. Obviously, ideally, this is going to be working. It's just been a sudden decision this evening. I'm aware that I'm not going to be able to go away and edit this show. I haven't done any live radio or podcast work for about 5 years now. So if you go back 20 seconds, you'll think, oh, he's been up already. Yes, I will be rusty. This is a warts and all show. But it might be a good thing, and it certainly might cheer me up this week. If you are listening, and I don't expect many listeners tonight, if any, because I've only just put the tweet out about an hour ago because I was running various tests. I did about, I think, 30 of these today, this afternoon. Since about 1,700 hours, I was trying to get one microphone working, then the other. I'm now having to use the Zoom H1 mic, which I'm not very keen on. I know it's a popular mic, belongs to a popular range. I think they're great as a location mic, but not as your main mic, which is what it's become for me over the years. Of course, over the last few weeks for the weekly Thursday podcast, I've been using my phone like it's 2010, but it's actually made the editing easier to try and get the Zoom H1 working as a USB mic. I had to go on YouTube, which is an increasingly common journey for me these days. I'm someone who's never been a big fan of learning via videos, but as I've gotten older, well, maybe in the last year, I've had to start doing some DIY reluctantly. So I go and visit YouTube now and every now and then. And today I did it for the Zoom H1 and I managed to get it working, which is why I'm able to do this. But ideally, I'd have used the simpler headset that I have, which isn't a great quality microphone, but I'm more comfortable with it. I used it to Skype with a kid a few months back, not realizing that some months from then the world would be under lockdown and everyone would be using Zoom. Indeed, as I tweeted a few days ago, I had to step out of a supermarket queue during the week, at which point I'm just realizing I haven't got my Nectar points receipts in front of me. I've just got them now. I'll put them there to one side on my left hand side. I might use my left hand to go through the receipts later to convey that air of intrigue. By the way, if you are listening, if you're on Twitter, maybe just confirm that someone is listening. You know, so I know that I'm not doing this for myself. So I know it's not the 1982 Star Wars film all over again. You know, no, actually, no, the Star Wars film, I had five friends come to that. My cousin cheesed me off the following day. He had his own version of it at the on the Brixton estate where he lived. And I think he had more people watching that. It's the Roland Rat thing that I did in the spring of 85. My mum had made me a Roland Rat mask. I was a big Roland Rat fan. I think I got three people actually. So I did pull in audiences. They were just small audiences. I think tonight's will be smaller. I've got to brace myself for that, but it won't be the worst thing that's happened this week. And there are positives about doing something like this live, which I will go into later on as the show progresses. I've now completely forgotten what I was talking about. This is terrible. This is the setup I've got tonight. So I watched this YouTube video and the guy, it was a 2-minute video. He seemed to think it was simpler than it really was. I think the big issue I've had is bringing in the theme tune and hoping that that is replicated at your end. I think it will be. I don't think it will be brilliant. It's going to be a bit like one of those. And I'm basing this on two things. Well, this will only work based on two things. One, that you're middle-aged or above, and you probably are. And it's one of the things that's actually concerning me about this lockdown is that not only is it a small audience, it's an old audience. I can't afford to lose any Patreon listeners. So I'm hoping, for many reasons, that you don't go down with this virus. And two, I don't think among those listeners, there's too many of you who are football fans. As a kid, I would listen to the old Liverpool games on the old Radio 2. My favorite football commentator was Peter Jones. And he'd be in some Eastern European country where often Liverpool were getting a good hiding. And it was, I think he'd be phoning in his commentary, literally down a phone line. And I think the theme tune, when I was testing it tonight with the equipment that I've got, it did sound very Radio 2-ish. Medium wave frequency. Was Radio 2 on medium wave? It might have been. I can't remember. But the plan is that as soon as this is done, I'm going to stick this on the Patreon site for the Patreon listeners, because most of you, if not all of you, there aren't many of you, will be able to listen to this show later on. And I might have to top and tail it with the intro and exit tune proper, because I think where this live version is going to suffer is in the intro and exit tune. Anyway, you're going to tune into this. You're not listening to this to get a behind the scenes, are you? I think, hey, there are people listening. Hey, hello, South London Hardcore. Okay, hello, Neil Ireland. Hello, Anthony Evans, my old resident FM engineer. I think he might have been the first guy I had. And then he went. Everyone leaves. And again, I've forgotten what I was talking about. Okay, so yeah, for the Patreon supporters, I will be topping and tailing the theme tunes, the pre-recorded theme tunes, and tidying it all up and putting it out later on tonight. I'm wearing three tops at the moment. I've been kind of dropping down from six to two to three all day. And I've gone up to three just before recording this show. And I'm now feeling like I'm overheating. Of course, it could be the male menopause. Who knows? I've been having problems when I've been running. I don't like running in the cold. I really don't. And the thermal underwear that I have, the thermal undershirt even that I have, is probably the most important thing aside from my proper running shoes that I have. But once I go onto the second lap, about 20, 25 minutes in, it becomes incredibly uncomfortable. So I've been doing the running in two tops this week, still got the two pairs of shorts. Again, the lockdown means that I can't get into Sports Direct to see if they've got any budget shorts with a sealable pocket. It has been suggested, I think people like Minty Matt have suggested getting one of those armbands to slip the phone in so I can time in the laps. But here's the thing, with the weights, I think my arms have genuinely got too big to have one of those straps fit around comfortably. If it's Velcro, it needs to be something that's a bit more secure. And I might as well make a positive reference to the biceps. I might as well give myself some whatever, some props this week. It's been a really poor few days. I mean, I was built for something like the lockdown. If they said to me this is going to go on for another year, I think I'm built to handle it. But that's the thing that's given me the problems, because no one should be mentally built to handle something like this. And I've been listening to quite a few shows on the old North and South Pole explorers, particularly the Franklin Expedition. I became very interested in that after watching The Terror a couple of years ago. And I've read up a few things, and I've read fiction, non-fiction on these explorers. And I've always thought, I think I might have said it last week, that if the sanitary conditions were decent, if you maybe had some flip-flops for the showers, that I could probably do solitary confinement. And the lockdown is a bit like that. Of course, it's not as bad as that, but it is a bit like that. And I shouldn't be able to deal with it in many respects as well as I have. That's a concern. And of course, the plans that I had to try and turn that around, things like, building up the freelance stuff that I've been doing by going to night school, there's no chance of that. I mean, I think I'd rather risk going to the barbers or to the cafe. I don't want to go into a classroom and sit there for 3 hours with people I don't know. So that obvious way to get out there and maybe meet some new people and also in the process improve my chances of not returning to the man, that's not something that I can consider right now. Reading a lot about the track and trace app as well. Again, that's a concern. The privacy concerns do bother me with regards to that. Having said that, I have been talking about my medication the last few weeks, so that probably doesn't hold water. But it's just for me, the whole track and trace thing is isolating alone. I'm not sure that I am built to handle an app notifying me that I've been in contact with someone who might have the virus. I've got a couple of face masks. I think when I read the other day that someone said, might have been one of the government scientists, that the face masks offer some sort of weak defense. It's minimal. I thought, okay, that's one of the most accurate things I've heard, because I've worn one of the masks that my cousin's wife sent me. And very quickly, it's become deformed. It no longer fits snugly around the chin. And I keep pulling it up. And of course, that's where the contamination can set in. You're outdoors, you're in the supermarket, the mask is slipping, you're getting worried, you're pulling it up. And you wrap the straps around your ears are sticking out. I don't feel too confident about that. I've got the buff stroke bandana. I think I just I feel a bit better wearing that. When I'm running, I told you, I think, a couple of shows ago that there is a bit in the park. It's almost like a channel, very narrow. So you're getting walkers and dog walkers passing through there and runners. And I thought after a while, there is no way I'm going to keep running through that. So I don't think it's a shortcut. I don't think it's a longer route. I just go a different way. But there is another bit in the park that isn't as bad. But again, it involves coming into contact. Actually, it might be as bad. It's you're going round the back of this building and you'd never see anyone walking through there during the winter. Now, of course, with the lockdown and the panicking, you're getting all the walkers coming through there and the dog walkers. So I've been wearing the buffer. And when I start running round that bend, I just pull the buffer up. And not so much for myself, it is for them. And that's the first time I've kind of thought these masks are to protect others from yourself. For me, it's a kind of etiquette thing, because I took quite a few weeks before I started wearing the masks. And when I was in Lidl's or the Nine Elms Monster, and I wasn't wearing a mask, it felt to me like so many people were wearing masks. Since I've been wearing the masks, it just doesn't feel like that many people are wearing masks now. There are more cars on the road. There are more people on the streets. I'm not seeing as many masks, I think, as I was a few weeks ago. I think it's lockdown fatigue. It's a combination maybe of people like me thinking the masks aren't going to save us. So let me tell you a bit about the equipment I've got on. I've got here, I've got the Zoom H1. That's plugged into the laptop machine. I've got this curved foam thing that's supposed to be soundproofing, which isn't very good really, because I'm on a main road. I think I was due to get double glazing in the flat. I'm hoping it's double glazed. I said this last week. If you're going to put in new windows in a building, surely now in this day and age, it would be double glazing. Why would you put in normal windows? I've had problems now that we're going into the spring. Well, we are in spring. Now that we're going into the summer and I'm trying to, air the flat every day. And the bedroom, opening the bedroom window is a real problem because it's an old window. It's very loud. The blinds are troublesome. It's not like the old days at Mayflower with the net curtains, the immigrant culture. You can look through the net curtains. You're like the Turin shroud. If people look into your window, they can just about make the outline of a face out. And there's a halfway house next door. there's, you know, every 5 or 6 months, it's like a reality show. Every 5 or 6 months, because these people are not allowed to stay there indefinitely, there's a new cast that come along. Some are more memorable for the wrong reasons than others. The guy that I tweeted about, I think a couple of days ago, who would busk barefoot across the road outside the vets. He was awful on the guitar. He was always shouting, he was always fighting. But the worst thing of all, the thing that I probably won't forget, I think I'll still be thinking about this if I make it into a care home a few decades from now. I was walking through the park a couple of summers ago and I saw him fighting off a dog. And I don't know if it was his dog. It can't have been his dog. I don't think you're allowed to have pets in the halfway house. He was fighting off this dog as he pulled out a kebab from a bin in the park. And it would have been from the night before because the kebab shop hadn't yet opened. So this was about late morning. And I almost heaved in the park. I could not believe it. Now, I appreciate that you can get pretty desperate. I don't think that this guy was the kind of homeless, old school tramp, if you like, who's looking for fag butts or looking in bins because they absolutely need to. Because, you know, he had a decent pair of trainers, he'd have, you know, branded clothes. There was just something about him that wasn't right. Obviously, that's why he was where he was. And now, this year's most striking new resident in that halfway house, simply because of his hair. It looks like something out of the mid 80s when lots of guys used to put highlights in their hair. Is this guy, he'll be out there on a Saturday morning when I go out to get the neighbor's paper in the mornings. He's out there early. And he's out in the garden every day reading or watering the lawn. And I'm thinking if I, you know, the window is so noisy, and most of us, when you pull open a window or when you hear a window being opened, even though we've heard window audio pretty much every day of our lives, the instinct is still to look up, and you've got that awkward moment, particularly if it's a neighbor. So I've got the neighbor on the other side, the neighbor 2 floors below me. She's always in her garden. And that is a concern, actually. I'm one of 3 people isolating alone in this building. Two of them are a lot older than me. And it's not that I don't think they're going to survive this lockdown, but I'm just saying, you know, if nature follows its course, these are people who, you know, may or may not pass away while I'm still in this building. For a while longer, and that'll be an awkward thing, particularly if it's a, you know, if it's a future lockdown 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, what do you do in those circumstances? Obviously, the neighbor next door, that really is the one that concerns me. I do worry when I put stuff out for her and it's not been collected for a day or two. I start thinking, am I going to have to break into this flat? What kind of sight is going to greet me? And as I've said, that's why I've not given her spare keys, because her family don't know me from Adam. They turn up at some point, you know, she's in the mortuary, turn up at some point, and they're clearing out her flat. At what point do I present myself, explain who I am? Yeah, I used to get your aunt the Radio Times, the OK magazine, the Daily Mail, the Mail on Sunday. She's got my spare keys. It's going to be a bit of an awkward one. So this guy, he's always in the garden, so it's preventing me from easily opening the bedroom window. And it's an involved process because it's a very old window. It's a sash window. It's pretty much rotten, which is why they're trying to replace all the windows in the building. And yesterday morning, I made my first attempt to air the bedroom at around 1000 hours. He was already out there at the back of the garden reading a novel. And at that point, that's when I should have made my first attempt on the window. Should have made my first attempt then. I left it. I thought he'll be indoors some point. I was checking every half hour. It was around 1500 hours before I could open the window. And the downstairs neighbor, she tends to go out there around 1700 hours. So I just aired it for about an hour and a half and then pulled the window back up. So I'm pleased that I've been able to get into that routine though of opening the window bedroom. done that 2 days in a row now. So, you know, routine is important to me. I had a text from the neighbor, which I always get now on a Tuesday around midday to get at the Radio Times. And I had a really productive morning writing, and I thought, okay, I'll stretch my legs in the afternoon. I can go and get at the Radio Times. And then I thought, well, I'm sitting on 8 pints of milk at the moment, semi-skimmed. Got 3.5 pints from February frozen. I don't really need to be going out and risking my life right now just for the Radio Times, because that would be the only reason I'm going, aside from exercise, and I'm going to go for a run in the morning anyway. So that will be the exercise. So I just texted her back and said I'd get it to her by Thursday, and then, you know, rewarded myself for a very strong morning writing by going to bed to read. And that's where the malaise sits in. It's and I did that at the weekend. And I think that's how this all started. About 15 minutes ago was me talking about the difficulties of the lockdown, which has surprised me because I was built for the lockdown. But this is really a very different thing. I've not been able to get clippers. So I'm trying to get through this lockdown with a mullet. I reported a trimmer that is £23. That's sold out everywhere, that's now on sale on Amazon for £124. I had a tweet from Babyliss, the hair trimmer company, who've also reported it to Amazon. As far as I know, it's still up there, but it's incredible that people are profiteering. They're taking any chance to profit from anything, whether it's loo roll, hand gel, hair trimmers. So I just want to get the hair trimmers and get rid of this hair, because it's just really, really genuinely uncomfortable, particularly with the warmer weather coming. And as I've said, when the lockdown is lifted, there is no way I'm going to the barbers right away. I want to see how this whole thing pans out, because we really don't know much about this thing. There's almost a grudge and admiration, my end, for this virus. It's just testing us in a way that I think nothing has tested us before. Just almost thinking of everything, you know, surfaces. Now it's children we're hearing that they, you know, they might be contagious after all. It's people possibly getting it a second time. It's just incredible. And, well, all we've got, as I say, it's a case of being sensible, which I was today by staying in, but it's also a case simply of being lucky. I think that's what it's going to come down to for a lot of us. So I didn't go out, didn't get any exercise, went back to bed reading. Someone said to me, a friend said to me, do you think you're reading a lot because of the pills? Because I read 3 books at the weekend, and I mean, I'm an obsessive reader, but I do it because I enjoy it. But there was a certain mania attached to the reading at the weekend. And I finished that massive book, 800 pages. That in itself, there's, you know, the average reader can polish a book that big. That's not the big deal. The big deal for me was the typeset was so small. And what I've done now, and this really feels like a defeat, for the first time ever, I've had to enlarge the font on my phone. That feels like a real defeat. That is one step away from going into the larger print books and the libraries with all the old people once they reopen. That's what I've had to do. My eyes have become so bad. So that's a thing that's arguably most important to me after the lockdown, is see when I can go to the opticians to get better glasses, because these glasses are not doing the job. So that was a hard swallow. That's the problem with being live. It's warts and all. Where was I? So going through this with the mullet. Yes, the book was especially difficult because of the small typesetting. So I rewarded myself for finally getting through it by just plowing through three books at the weekend. I tend to do one or two heavy books, you know, the great writers, and then I'll go to something lighter. And I'm on As Light As It Gets right now, Sherlock Holmes and the Martian Menace. I love the pastiche Sherlock Holmes, and I will say this, and it will be controversial, but I've read all the Conan Doyle Sherlock Holmes, and of course, you know, I'm a fan. But I don't think his full Sherlock Holmes novels, there weren't many. There might have been 2 or 3 or 4. I don't think they were as strong as the shorter stories. And I actually think these pastiche Sherlock Holmes novels, not the Martian Menace one, obviously, but I think they're often stronger than the full-length Conan Doyle novels. And this one, it's absolute rubbish, but it's so rubbish that it's brilliant. And it's got H.G. Wells in there as well, G.K. Chesterton. And it reminds me of a review that I read back in 2000, The Guardian. They reviewed, was it Peretti? I think he might have been doing their TV reviews at that time. He, whoever it was, they called Renegade the best show of 2000 because it was, and I'm paraphrasing here, it was so bad, it was great. And that's how I feel about this Sherlock Holmes and the Ocean Menace. And Renegade, I used to watch it every Friday. I mean, I just thought it was rubbish, but it was brilliant. You know, Lorenzo Lamas and the Bobby Six Killer, Vigilantes, Friday night television, absolute trash, but at the same time, very good television. That's how I feel about this book, and I'm enjoying it. It's not a guilty pleasure, it's just a pleasure. And I've got all of these pastiche novels. Some of them are better, some of them are pretty strong. There was a very clever one, which I can't remember what it's called, but it basically took Bram Stoker's Dracula, presented it from another angle, the angle being that the Count, whose name I may have mentioned there, but I normally don't. And I never wear black with red because it evokes memories for me, troubling memories of the Count. The angle of this book is that the Count was actually set up. This whole vampire angle was completely made up, and it's done so brilliantly. It's a brilliant piece of work. The author might have been James Lovegrove. It may not have been, but he does write a lot of these pastiche Sherlock Holmes, and it's a brilliant piece of work. Again, Titan Books. So really, I just enjoy these books. And did I give you the details? I think I did mention the equipment at the moment, the way it's set up. So I'd like to improve that. Obviously, I've been mentioning the last few weeks. I mean, there's so much I need to sort out with the podcast in terms of finding a new host for it, or do it through the Squarespace thing, which would be a lot of it would probably be the best decision, but it would be a lot of time, which I don't necessarily have, despite what my family may think. And there's also, you know, just simply getting better equipment because I'm tired of working like this. I am contemplating at some point asking Mickey Blue if he would consider building a podcast booth, given that I might be stuck here in this particular building for a while. That has been a big problem for me, being stuck in this particular place, because the memories here aren't great, and that has made everything harder. It was hard enough before the lockdown. The weekends are, I think, for a normal person, they would be really difficult. For me, they're difficult, but I think my problem is that I can handle the difficult, and I think that that's wrong. I don't think that's a healthy thing, and I think that's something I have to address. But you know, I'm just working these longer days. I've left myself with a very tiny list of clients because I just, the whole thing about the internet, it can give you the freedom to be anywhere, to produce work from anywhere for people from anywhere around the world. But this whole business about, you know, having all these apps now on the phone and waking up in the morning and having all these messages from somewhere, you know, Dubai, Qatar, Australia, the States, have you done this? Have you done that? And you're not being paid what you're worth. And a friend just said to me, it's not worth the hassle unless you're being paid what you're worth. And at the same time, they can't be placing all these demands on your time if you're doing the same stuff for other people. And that's what was happening. And I just thought, well, I have to be happy with the people I'm working for. It can't just be about the money. The money is important because money gives you options, but I don't want to keep waking up to all these alerts from people I don't particularly enjoy doing stuff for. So I've pretty much shrunk all that back. And it's a case of, okay, I know now that this model can work, but can it work financially? You know, can this become more than a side hustle to support my writing? So I think it's the right way to think. I think the lockdown gives a lot of us opportunities to come out of this in a different way because we are heading for very dark times. I mean, if this is going to be worse than the recession, which of course it's going to be, then that is frightening. Unless you're medicated like me, in which case there's very little that could scare you. But what I would say, selfishly, is this has not been the worst time of my life. If people are going to ask me, is this the most difficult time of your life? Because understandably, it is proven the most difficult time for a lot of people. I would say, well, no, the crash was more difficult for me. You know, I was homeless for a long time, for numerous spells during that crash. I had a difficult time. Relationships broke up. That's a regular feature of my life. But it was a turbulent time. This hasn't been a turbulent time. This has just been a really, really strange time. This has been a case of us up until now living lives that you didn't really think a century or two from now people would be reading about in history books. But here, all of a sudden, we're living through a time which historians will be studying forever, you know, until mankind's time on this planet comes to an end. This is just a very strange time. So I'm going to wrap up soon anyway. I was just trying to do a tight 30, but I'm finding myself enjoying this so much. And I can't believe that it's going so smoothly. I don't have the usual notes that I have. I'll be dreaming tonight when I eventually get to sleep that I'm doing this and that it's all going wrong. But at the moment, it's not going wrong. The concern now is going to be when I finish this, will it still be there for me to upload to the Patreon section? A difficult week. Found myself dropped in as nice a way as possible by my agent. Not unexpected. She's restructuring, and don't think she's letting everybody go, but you know, she's letting me go. And suppose if she's aware of the mullet, which I think she is, that may have played a part in her decision making. There's no point being bitter about these things. People try to do things for you. I think her intentions were good. So I just got to find a way now to reevaluate things. The most important thing is that right now I'm picking up the writing, that I'm starting to attack that by doing this kind of time boxing thing. Did 2 brilliant hours today. I'm not pushing it. I'm not thinking, oh, I've done 2 brilliant hours today. Let me do a third hour or a fourth hour, because right now that might not happen. So the 2 hours, I'm pretty focused. Today I was pleased because I did the 2 hours, I think inside 3 hours, because a week ago that would have been inside 4.5 hours. So there's a bit of improvement there. And I'm pleased. That's a big thing for me that I'm attacking that now after the extensive block of the last year. But of course, now without an agent, I've got to look again at what I do. And also, how many of these production companies that are so hard to reach now is going to be around anyway? I mean, it's hard enough now that the theatre stuff that I was doing, where am I going to get stuff staged now? It's lucky that I didn't put money into staging a play. You know, I was in early discussions with actors just to try and get a feel of things. It wasn't something I was massively inclined to do, but it was something that I thought was worth exploring. I still think it's worth exploring, but it's going to be very difficult now for creatives, which is why, rather than return to the man, I'm determined to get this audio sideline, take it up a few levels. So, you know, I'm just too old to be working for people. I'm too old to be feeling rubbish about myself because I'm somewhere that I shouldn't be. And that is how I feel about office life. I just don't want to be there. It's interesting now because I think I said this last week or the week before about the whole hot desking concerns. You know, I found myself working for businesses where, because of the recession, long established businesses relocated to smaller buildings, more people started working from home. Those of us who could commute in would find ourselves having to hot desk. And, you know, got to the stage where I'd be bringing in my own antibacterial wipes into an office because the desks and the laptops, the keyboards, everything was filthy. Imagine that now. Hot desking doesn't work now. Just like the handshake, doesn't work. It's dead. This is a new era. I think working from home is going to be the way forward for a lot of people. The gentle drop in by the agent reminded me a bit of the time I was taken out for dinner, for lunch actually, by my old TV producer. And over sea bass, she proceeded to fire me from a show. And to be honest, I was relieved because that was the point where I realized I'm not a writer for hire. I never have been. And I was just taking on jobs because I was desperate to stay out of offices. But I would rather, as bad as it is, I'd rather think, I think I would rather be in an office than working on someone else's show. I'm not that kind of writer. You know, I'm a creator. I regard myself as a creative person. And I've just never understood writers doing that. It's kind of one of the things I struggle with about film is that you are a writer, a big writer, and you will write a film. And of course, you know, because a film is a director's medium, it won't really be known as your work. At least television is not as bad as that. But I wish I could have written prose because I think that would have been the best way to have control over your work as a writer, you know, as a to be creating fiction. And there are many average writers, and I don't say that disparagingly, who have carved out good fiction careers, and I know them for that because it's kept them out of the office, kept them away from the man. And I think that's commendable, more commendable than, you know, being a staff writer. That's just something that I tried to do in the past, but I realized it wasn't me. And anyway, this producer was sacking me. I was wearing a white shirt. It might have been spring or summer. We were having sea bass. I'm not a big piscine guy, and realized I think it had bones. So right away, I'm eating in front of a woman. I'm uncomfortable about that because that's the way I am. And I'm seeing, you know, I'm thinking we're outdoors. I'm thinking, is it raining? Where's this coming from? All these like specks appearing on my shirt, and it was oil from her sea bass as she was devouring it. And towards the end of the meal, I realized that she was kicking me off the show, and that had been the intention behind taking me out for lunch. And in the end, I thought, well, fair play to her. You know, she's done it in a nice way. That's how it was with this agent. And I've just got a, again, it's probably come at the right time, gives me a chance to stop and think about things. The important thing is, the most important thing right now is with this time boxing idea, an idea that I just never thought I would respond to. I'm not that kind of guy, but I've responded to it, and so far it's going well. And, you know, doing this, if I start doing this live show, which I'd like to do because it's easier, if when I download this, I'll see what the quality is like. And if it's good enough, then this can be the regular podcast. We'll go out to Patreon listeners early. So if I do it on the Monday, the Patreon listeners will get it on the Monday night or the Tuesday morning if they've not been able to listen to it. And then it will appear on iTunes and everywhere else on the Thursday, along with the Patreon section of the show. That's just the way I'm thinking off the top of my head. That would save me a lot of time because it's a lot easier for me to get on here and you know, just talk into a mic than, you know, prepare a show every week. At least I'm enjoying this right now. Of course, it could be a complete disaster when I listen back to it, and I'll be hearing the jaw clicking, which shouldn't be clicking too much because I've done the speech therapy exercises that I was given back in 2014. I think they tried to get me back in recently. I had two missed calls from them, and I'm not going anywhere near a doctor's or a hospital. I'm not even writing the word hospital in a notepad. I mean, this virus has kicked the hypochondriac in me out for life. I can't foresee a time. I mean, I'm lucky. I've not been ill recently. I'm wondering what's going to happen come the winter with the, you know, the flu jab, etc. When I start picking up a cold, will I ride it out? Because, like all of you, I don't particularly want to be going to the poor hospitals right now. So thank you for you guys who have been listening to this show tonight. Just going to check if there's anything on the Facebook show page. The easiest way to support this work is via the Patreon site, patreon.com/DRT available. You can be the 16th Patreon supporter at the moment, Los 15. are keeping the show afloat. This works. I do a regular show each week, and the Patreon listeners get the full show, which tend to run to about 70 or 80 minutes. You can support the show for just $7 a month at patreon.com/DRT available. $7 a month, that's less than the price of two UK coffees. If there is anywhere right now that is open for you to get your two UK coffees, and probably cheaper than a face mask. So it might be something for you to consider to support a long running in the podcast. I'm gonna give you my Nectar Points update in a minute. The one plus maybe about being dropped by my agent, or you know, falling aside during this restructuring process, is that I might be able to get rid of WhatsApp now, because I only installed it because she was keen for me to have it. She preferred to communicate like that. And now that I no longer have her guide in my career, I'm thinking, well, maybe I can get rid of this, because I do find it quite stressful. There are about 300 unread messages in the Spanish families, well, Spanish and German family WhatsApp group. And then I had one of my oldest friends, my old neighbor, send me a picture of me with my curtains, my curtain hairstyle from 1995, which looks better than what I currently have. So, you know, some of the distractions are welcome, some less. So it's bizarre. The weekend was so bad. I spent so much time in bed, and I'm not really one for that, not one for nodding off, not one for the cat naps, because I think it's a waste of a day and they leave me feeling in a bit of a stupor. So on Sunday, I had to force myself out of bed at 1600 hours, came and sat in the front room to read, and finished off the second book that weekend, Endless Coffee. And I just thought, well, I've only gone from one room to another, but at least I'm sitting up now, and there's no chance of just falling asleep and having some of these awful dreams. One of the dreams, and isn't it weird the way your mind works? One of the dreams was I sent my mum a WhatsApp voice message. Why would your dreams do that to you? You know, WhatsApp, I don't think it came into being till about 10 years after my mum had passed away. It's strange, isn't it, the way dreams work? And it's always daytime dreams with me. I don't really dream that much now at night, because my sleep is intermittent. Might be something to do with the 9-10 coffees at the moment. But at the weekends, once I've come back from getting the neighbor's paper in the mornings before the housework on a Saturday, I'll nod off, and often I regret it. The dreams are absolutely awful. So anyway, maybe the WhatsApp can go. Doing a saline nasal rinse thing at the moment, because I've been feeling a bit bunged up, and it's quite tricky, because you're meant to shoot, you put this solution, this saline solution, in a bottle, lukewarm water, you stick the nozzle up one nostril, you're meant to open your mouth, lean forward, and the bottle's upside down, you press the nozzle down, it squirts water up one nostril, and it comes out the other nostril. I can't get it coming out the right nostril. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's because the nose has been busted so many times. That's not going to be possible. And I think it's the closest I've got to waterboarding, to be honest. It's very, very uncomfortable. I'm 3 nights into it now. The first night I did it better. Yesterday, tonight, not so good. Just going to have a quick swig of water. Can feel the throat going. Felt the benefit of it, I think, the first couple of nights, the saline rinse. Last night, I didn't. I woke up again with my nose blocked. I think I'm smearing a lot of Vicks as well on myself when I'm running. I'm not sure if that's doing more harm than good. So negatives, but the writing, big positive this week. Just got to ride this period out. And it's ironic that after all the years of wandering, all the years of being homeless, I'm in a place now which I've been in for a while, which I don't want to be in, a place with a landline that doesn't work. But even when it was working, I didn't know the number, and I still don't know the number. It's just it's a strange time. But I can't say the lockdown being lifted will make too much of a difference for me, because right now I don't think I'll change my routine too much until I, like most people, I think, get a clear idea of what's going on, whether there's going to be a spike, whether there's going to be a new wave of cases again. And well, we'll see what's happening. Hope you guys are keeping up with the hand washing too. Let me bring you my Nectar points update before I go. Here are my receipts. Sports. Well, it was an epic journey last week. These are the 1st of May. I think I had two trips to Sainsbury's because there was no breaded fish in Lidl, where I actually had my first argument in a face mask last week with one of the floor managers in Lidl, my local Lidl. He couldn't understand me. I couldn't understand him. We both stupidly took our masks off to continue arguing. And it's strange. That is the pills. It's, I'm just fearless. I would say if I was off the pills that this guy was anything to be worried about, but I'm not one that, I have a very long fuse. I'm not one of these guys who can boast about being short-tempered and not being afraid to have an argument. I'm pretty cautious about these things. But even though I was mostly in the wrong, I have to say, and it simply came down to a lack of common sense. And like most creative people, I lack common sense, often a line of attack from ex-girlfriends, and too many people have said it about me for it not to be true. So I lack common sense. I was at fault over this particular incident, but I also think that by attributing it to a lack of common sense, it was like, okay, because I have a lack of common sense, this particular thing here that you guys have done, I didn't understand it. Most people probably would have, but I'm not most people. And I wouldn't have been the only one to misunderstand this bit. And so I did this particular thing. And we couldn't understand each other. And he said to me something along the lines of, "Why are you arguing when you're wrong?" And of course, I knew that I was mostly wrong, but I wasn't entirely wrong. And I just thought, you can't tell someone not to argue because you're saying that they know they're wrong. First of all, prove to them that they're wrong. So outline to me why you think I'm wrong. And of course, as I'm telling you, I was mostly wrong, but I wasn't going to admit it to this guy. But got my back up with that line of arguing. Anyway, should have kept the face mask on to argue with him. And it was the lighter face mask as well. And my voice was still muffled. Okay, bought two sets of rubber gloves, washing up gloves. Here's the thing. I only bought one, or thought I'd only bought one. They were basic gloves. They were stuck to each other. I only got charged for one. Could have had a nasty Richard Madeley bottle of wine situation there if I'd been stopped leaving the shop. Bought some Surface lemon wipes. Was lucky because they didn't have any as I walked into the aisle. And then this assistant at Sainsbury's with the big PPE visor started stocking up the shelves. And the first thing he was putting out on the shelves were these Surface wipes. So I helped myself. I got some Nivea men's cream for £2.50. Moisturised the hands from all the hand washing. Three single oranges, 84p. Not a great time for oranges recently. Second trip, went back. Just noticing that the 6 pints of skimmed milk in Sainsbury's have now gone up. Honey, there was a shortage of honey again in Lidl, so I had to pay over the odds for honey. In Sainsbury's, 185. Don't really like to pay over £1.40 for that. And breaded cod for 195, which I had to cook earlier this evening. Didn't have much turnaround time on the expiry date, but I'll have that later in the week. Raisins, thankfully, Lidl have bought in some raisins for 119, so I didn't have to pay over the odds for raisins. And that is it. That is the end of this extensive live show. 50 minutes. I was aiming for 30 minutes, but I've enjoyed myself. I may have enjoyed myself more than you've enjoyed listening to me, but I'm not going to take that to heart because it's been a rough week, and this it was a positive thing to do this for me. I've also cancelled a vital Star Wars football game. Death Star and Empire are meant to be playing tonight for the last Champions League spot for next season, but they've had to wait for this. I had to It was all about me tonight. And there you go. That's the first live show. This will be out for Patreon supporters tonight if the quality is good. This is all new. This is just a beta app at Ramble FM, who are kindly allowing me to test this out. And this is the bit where I now say to you, it is time for you to get those shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. I'm Daniel Ruiz-Tyson, and this week I have been available.